Oh my goodness. Oh, the light on the wall. The light on the wall says we're live. Hi, everybody. A to Z here. You are on the A to Z program with yours truly, Eric Zant. And tonight, you have a rare and special opportunity ahead of you. What you have in the palm of your hands or at your beck and call is the ability to ask Eric anything. You can ask me anything you want. You can ask me things about the universe. You can ask me who the 24th president was. You can ask me what kind of tires I have on my car. You can ask me what kind of deodorant. You can ask me anything you want to ask. Anything. Anything. And I'll have an answer for you. Whether it's right or wrong, probably will be right. It might be wrong. But it's going to be fun. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this episode. And what would the program be without... See, I can't do this myself. I can do it, but I can't. Because not just because I'm technologically inept and not because I still use Yahoo, which I don't know why. It's kind of stuck there. But this program would not exist and would not... The very foundation of the A to Z program up here at Allen Street Towers is fundamentally controlled by one man. And it is produced ever so eloquently by the man... The myth, the legend of South Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce to you, Producer Dave.
Ooh, I'm here. I'm back.
There he is. He's back. Producer Dave is back in the his house.
Yes, had to be here for episode 20, and especially the Ask Eric edition.
It's Dave. This is like a seminal episode in pop culture pros universe and in the A to Z program. This has never been done before. We're setting precedents here at Pop Culture Pros every single week, are we not?
Absolutely.
And I actually have some evidence, Dave. I'm going to send this to you, and we're going to... Okay. I think you should highlight this later on in the program when we're so prompted to. But I actually have evidence that we have united Florida. I have evidence that we have brought peace and harmony to the Sunshine State. I have evidence. I have direct evidence that we made a difference. So I am gonna send this to you. And later on in the program, we're gonna reveal that evidence. This is a gigantic show, everyone. Not only are you going to be able to ask me anything you want, and I'm going to give you the answers, but we are going to provide the proof in the pudding that we have brought harmony and solace to the Sunshine State. We are the sunshine of the Sunshine State now. There's no question. After this irrefutable evidence, nobody's going to be able to refute it. I just can't believe it. And I'm lucky enough that I caught it at the right time, because I'm not sure it might have been swept away, but I do have proof of it. So, are you looking at it? So, yeah, we're going to have some fun with that. And
love it.
Yeah, is that great? Is that great or what? That's amazing. So great. I can't wait till we drop that later. That's going to... I'm telling you, it's concrete. It's written in stone now.
I want to make sure I'm going to send it to myself so I can post it up here.
Oh boy.
For the world to see later on. So you want to stay tuned for that.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. You do not want to miss that. But anyway, so we're going to ask Eric anything anybody wants. We have questions already on the site or post. So, and then we're going to, and I see we got some people popping up already. So we're going to do this. And why don't we, Dave, start the show with a good old top 10? I mean, that's one of the things that set us apart from everyone else in talk show land. What do you think?
Of course, and I think we should definitely do it, since you were given this, you know, you were handed down the brass rings by Mr. David Letterman himself to do this.
Yeah, that's the truth. That's a wrinkle not very well known in the entertainment world, which you and I are a part of, and we understand that if you don't understand it out there in TV land, but it was bestowed upon me to continue this tradition, and I have to do it. And we enjoy doing it, and we enjoy doing it for you. So, Dave, without further ado, tonight's top 10 list is a very, I would say something that probably people talk about, but not many people actually think about. And tonight on our top 10 list, we are going to go over the top 10 strongest armies in the entire world, with little snippets to give you understanding as to why. How does that make you feel?
I'm very curious. I mean, I know who I think is number one, but I'm curious to see. You know, a lot of these lists that we see and come up with, you know, have a lot of things we're like, should that really be on there? So I'm kind of curious to see where we're going with this.
Yeah, I was too. And after all list was all said and done, and all research was finally inputted, I was surprised at a few of them, because I would never have thought. And there's also a few I would have thought maybe have made it on there, but didn't. And but at that, hey, Sam's with us. What's up, Sam? At any rate, let's dive right into the top 10. Okay, so this top 10 list, this is the top 10 strongest armies in the world. Are you ready, Dave?
I'm ready.
Is everybody in TV land ready? You are? Good. So, tonight's top 10 list is the top 10 strongest armies in the world. Number 10, the Brazilian Armed Forces in Brazil. Now, Brazil, a lot of people wouldn't think that Brazil would be on this list, Dave, but Brazil is number 10. Because for the past few years, Brazil has been facing a lot of security challenges within the state. Brazilian Army, no doubt working day and night to face these challenges, has made the country stable. And for this purpose, the government has allocated a military budget of $32 billion annually. And wow. they have 3.5 million soldiers active, with 10 million more in reserve. Wow. I would have never have thought that. How about you?
Absolutely. Brazil would have not even been, I think, on my top 10.
Now, the funny thing, I did a little bit of extra research on this, Dave. Brazil is one of the largest countries in the world. Did you know that?
Yes, I did not.
Now, I watched one of those cool, those clever people on YouTube that make those really cool videos, the animated ones that kind of show you, like they go over different, like the deepest parts of the ocean or the biggest fish in the world. This one was the actual size of countries comparatively to others. So, like, everybody thinks Greenland is like this gigantic country, and it's actually really about the size of, you know, for lack of a better term, like the northeast of the United States. Now, Brazil is like actually 3/4 the size of Australia. It's fucking huge. And Africa is not even given. I can't even explain how big Africa is. Like, it took all these countries, China, Russia, Canada, U.S., all the Norwegian, all the Scandinavian countries, half of Europe, and they put it inside of Africa, and there was still, like, room for other countries to fit in there. It was unbelievable how big Africa really is. You have no idea. You have no idea.
That, like, yeah.
When they say Africa is, like, the largest, biggest, baddest continent, they're not kidding. I mean, it's gigantic. But anyway, the Brazilian Army, that's what we're talking about here. They're number 10 on the top 10 strongest armies in the world. Number 9, Dave, number 9 is the Japan Self-Defense Forces in Japan. The Japanese Self-Defense Forces. And the basic mission of the Self-Defense Forces is to protect the Japanese mainland. After World War II, of course, Japan was so much involved in itself, the main purpose of establishing the country and making it fully equipped to meet new modern challenges safely, the defense budget was up to $50 billion. And the working of the military is unique from other armies. It hires civilian personnel, and they remain civilian, technically. The ones who wear uniforms are termed as special civil servants. So they're not actually soldiers. They're just self-defense specialists. Isn't that neat?
Yes, I had no idea. Honestly, I'm surprised they're so low on the list, actually.
I kind of am, too, because Japan are one of the... they're like the big technology. They always seem to be like on like ahead of a cutting edge technology or things that are coming out or like electronics mainly, I guess, and cars. But they always seem to be a step ahead of the world on things like that. So I agree with you. I would have thought they would have been higher on the list. You know, but that's okay. Japan, obviously, with an army like that to be ranked here, is not. I mean, a self-defense. What do they call it? A self-defense force. So it's not actually a military force. It is a self-defense force to protect the mainland. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really cool. All right, Dave. Number 8. The Turkish Armed Forces in Turkey. They are number 8. They beat out... Dave, they beat out Japan and Brazil. So Turkey is one of the most peaceful countries in the world, which is prospering with leaps and bounds, and all of its successes, the Turkish Armed Force plays an influential role. The recent statistics... You know... there's no reason that I can't speak correctly, so I'm just going to give it another try. So the recent statistics reveal that Turkey is spending an amount of about $20 billion annually on their military budget. It's got about 6.5 to 7 million soldiers that are active, while another 2 million are in reserve. And other stats include 3,500 tanks, 990 aircraft, 14 submarines, and 0 nukes. They have no nukes in Turkey. So they're They're still 8. I mean, that's like, you know, that's pretty bad, man, or badass, because, like, you know, if they just have that and, like, nobody's fucking with them, whew, I mean, don't, I'm going to go off on a limb and say, don't invade Turkey. Don't do it.
Yes.
Now, Dave, number 7 came as a complete shock to me, because given its history... And the stigma that is placed upon it still. I mean, even still, like, my kids are very young. And they even have, like, reserved comments about this country. I mean, this is the profound effect that this one era of history had on the world and still does. But, what I'm referring to is not what it is today. And, of course, I'm talking about Germany. Okay, so number 7, Dave, is the Bundeswehr in Germany. The Bundeswehr, I'm a German guy, all right, and I can't even pronounce this, okay, was established on November 12th, 1955. Wasn't that the day time travel was discovered, too? November 12th, 1955? Wow, a lot of stuff happened that day. That's when Doc Brown discovered the flux capacitor, right?
Flux capacitor, yeah.
And the German army was formed.
But, is it coincidence?
Dave, I don't think so. There's something wrong there. But anyway, the duties of the Defense Force of Germany include conflict prevention and crisis reaction, in addition to protection of the borders. The statistics show... Why can't I say statistics? The statistics show that Germany has a total of 1,048,996 active, while another 4 million reserve soldiers. They got about 400 tanks, 710 aircraft, 4 submarines, and it seems that after World War II, Germany has strived very hard to regain their lost strength. Now, that's pretty good, given what I said. Now, I want to go back to say what I said about, like, my kids and being very young. Like, they have even, like, there was a time I was talking about Germany about something, and one of my sons said, wasn't Hitler German? And I said, well, yeah, Hitler was German. And they're like, oh, well, Germany's like, you know, right? And I'm like, no, they're not. They're not. That's not like that anymore. No, so
they don't play with that over there. The one thing, I've been to Germany now 3 times, and every single time, the one thing they tell you, do not play around with the whole Nazi spiel. Don't do the signals. None of that, because
no,
you can get in real trouble for doing it. Like, they don't play with it. The police don't play with it. No one there plays with it. If you're a local from Germany, they don't want to see it.
No, I heard that it's illegal to possess Nazi memorabilia. And if you, like you just said, I was, because I have literally three quarters of my family still lives in Germany. You can't even, like, make, like you said, make motions, mentions, anything. You will go to jail. Like, they would jail you. And sometimes if you're like us, like dumb Americans, like, they'll probably just kick you out of the country and never let you back in. Like you
or
said,
or make it difficult where they take your passport and then you got to figure out, go to the embassy and figure some shit out.
You're getting out of there, yeah. Hey, I see the boss has joined us. Yo, boss. What peace up? And love. Peace and
you
love.
Wanna you want to stay tuned, boss, for a little reveal at the end of the show.
Yeah, we have a special surprise coming up at the end of the show. A big, big, big reveal, boss. So you're gonna want to stay tuned to that. Hello, Harley. And Dave, we're going to continue right on this list. We're going to go right down to number six here. And number six is a bit of a surprise. Not surprising with the how big the country is, but surprising that they made it so far up the list. And that is the Indian Armed Forces of the country India.
Wow.
Number six.
So they're higher than Germany.
They're higher than Germany. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I guess.
Again, another country I don't think I would have put maybe 10, just because, like you said, of the size, but maybe not one that I would have been thought of immediately.
No, because, like, with Brazil and India, you don't think of, like, I mean, I would have thought, like, you know, like the Brazilian, what are they going to do, wax everyone to death? And, like... Like India, they're gonna like cook you like curry chicken and like make you shit your brains out until you give up. I don't know, but that's terrible that's what they're known. You know what I mean? You think of Indian food, you think of curry, you think of Brazil, you think of Brazilian wax. But these countries are actually well established. They're well formed in their military structure, because it says here India is developing. As a developing country facing problems like corruption, political instability, and terrorism, so much more, and the forces the forces of such a country must be very strong. Keeping this in mind, India is allocating a almost $50 billion military budget. And the active troops, Dave, are 13 million, and the reserve troops are 5 million. And they have almost 4,000 tanks, 1,500 aircraft, and this I'm not too happy about. They have 100 nukes.
Yikes.
100 nuclear bombs.
I think that's then what puts them at six then.
Those nukes. Because nobody's had them yet, right? Yeah. Nobody's had them yet.
Nope. So that makes sense why they're at six then. Definitely, yeah. I understand then why they're above Germany. Yeah, I didn't know they had that many nukes.
100 nukes? Like, are we supposed to know that? Like,
what are they planning over there? Why are we not worried about that?
Why is it, like, just okay to, like, have on a top 10 list like we have? Oh, yeah, by the way, India has 100 nuclear weapons. Well, that's okay. You know, how's COVID? Good, thanks.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Jesus Christ. 100 nukes? That's enough to, like... I mean, I don't know I guess it doesn't matter how strong they are, because if you have a fucking 100 of them, that's enough to blow Asia and Europe into oblivion, isn't it? I don't know.
I would believe so. If we have any, you know, scientific folks watching, you guys can, you know, educate us as well. But yeah. I'm assuming that can just take out a whole entire region.
I think it would probably take out at least India and three quarters of China. I think, and maybe like Bangladesh and probably Sri Lanka too. So like David said, if there's anybody out there who is of the scientific persuasion who has more prolific knowledge than he and I and can tell us about this and explain it to us and give us a real, even if it's on another show, we'll have you on and we'll bring you in, because we'd like to know about this. This is something we need to know about. Absolutely. And speaking about needing to know, Dave, you're not going to believe, you are not. And when I say not, you are never even going to conceive in your mind what the fifth strongest army in the world is. And I thought this was a joke, but it's not.
I can't see what country we got.
Number five is the French armed forces from France.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
The French?
The French? Really? They're number
is,
five?
Is this the Canadian French? Is that what this is?
It's not even the no, it's the real French, I guess. Not the half French. So it says that when it comes to manpower, the FAF, or the French Armed Forces, the FAF, is the largest among other armies in the European Union, and amongst NATO stands at the third position. Holy shit. France holds the nuclear powers, which is third largest in the world. It has 300... Okay, so the soldiers, it only has 360,000 soldiers and 423 tanks, 1,200 aircraft. Here's the kicker, Dave. Are you ready? 300 nuclear bombs.
Okay, so they almost doubled what...
almost doubled what India had. Why the fuck do you have so many nuclear weapons? That's not right.
And why are they... Okay. I'm going to go off on a tangent here.
No, not let's
a tangent,
hear it,
but
Dave.
Just a little...
No, we got it, track. Dave.
Why are we always... If they have 300 nukes, why are they always asking for help?
Yeah.
Jesus. Protect yourselves.
A hand grenade goes off, and, you know, all of a sudden the U.S. has to send people out, and Britain comes over, and Germany comes in, and it's like, oh, my God. But you got 300 nuclear weapons? Are you kidding me?
Saving them for a rainy day. Like, maybe one day we're going to need these. One day. We don't want to... Oh, that's all I have? We don't want to waste them. Let's call someone else in to help us out.
No, just dump that stuff over there in the Rhine River or the Danube, whatever it is, that goes through Italy and Germany. No, it's not all right. That's all right. They don't care.
It's like, okay, what do we... Do we keep the baguettes, the crepes, or the nukes?
Or the nukes.
You could keep the nukes in the storage closet. We got to keep the baguettes and the crepes going.
Yeah, because, over in America, they like that Stouffer's French bread pizza so much that, that'll keep them at bay for a while. Holy shit, 300 nuclear weapons. That's bombs, okay. It says. Bombs. That means they're made and ready to go. I guess I'm going to stop picking on French people now. You'll be like, oh, yes, Mr. Zant, would you like to say that one more time while I push the red button? I'll be like, no, dude. No, I'm good. Keep your beanie on or whatever that thing is. I'm all right,
The beret.
Or the beret, yeah.
Go on. And they wear that's what these guys wear. What is it, the faff?
The faff wear the beret and they got the cigarette. Well, I wonder how many mimes there are. Like, everyone at attention.
Oh,
God, I got to stop. Somebody French is going to get mad at me. I don't know. Or,
we're going to get banned we're going to make them cry, and we're going to get banned from France.
From France, and they're not going
to be able to show us. We're going to get canceled in YouTube France and Facebook France.
Oh, no. Darn. Well, Dave, number four is probably one that you were thinking was up on the list. Because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. We're in the top four. And the fourth strongest army in the world is actually the British Armed Forces in the United Kingdom. Now,
okay, that makes sense.
It does make sense, because the British Armed Forces constitutes of the Royal Air Force, the Royal Navy, and the British Army. And the UK have a total of 2,024,500 active professional soldiers, while 150 or 1,500,000 are in reserve. Now, the state spends about $60 billion annually on their budget, and the tanks, which belong to the British Armed Forces, are more than 400. Aircrafts, they have like 1,500, and nuclear bombs are above 200. So they have over 200 nukes. 11
they
subs.
Less,
and
they
have less.
They have less than France.
Less than France, but they have less people, too.
And they're probably not afraid of using their nukes.
I think they're less afraid of using them than the French are. But they have an aircraft carrier. They have one aircraft carrier. I hope nothing happens to that. And with all these arms and ammunition, UK is striving hard to maintain peace in the country and in the whole world. I'm going to have to go ahead and say no on that last one. I don't think they're trying to make peace with the whole world. The whole Brexit thing. They want it out of the European Union, and they're letting people leave. Isn't that what Brexit was? You can leave Britain exit, Am I getting that wrong? I'm probably getting it wrong. Yeah. And the boss is going
to... That they were separating.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, anyway, it just seems to me, especially with this COVID thing, and by the way, I'm going to plug Jonathan Pye. If anybody really wants to know what's going on in Britain, watch Jonathan Pye on YouTube. He's one of my favorite people. He's fucking hilarious, but he's got everything right down to a T. It's great. So Jonathan Pye, look him up on YouTube. Number three, Dave. Number three is probably the one that you were thinking. We're down to the final three, and they're probably going to be obvious. But in the order, we probably didn't know which was going to be which.
Well, so I thought for sure the UK would have been three.
You thought UK would have been three? I did too.
Yeah.
I honestly did too. I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if the UK was number two. But number four, I thought they would be two or three. But number three, actually, Dave, is the armed force of the Russian Federation. So Russia is number three. They're not two. Because the Russian Navy, the Russian Ground Forces, the Russian Air Force are included in the armed forces of the Russian Federation. The government of Russia, which is basically Vladimir Putin, decided to spend $200 billion for the upgrade of the military equipment from 2006 to 2020. And development will bring Russia to the top of the list within no time. Let us have a look at some facts. Well, there's 7.5 million soldiers active with a military budget of $70 billion. And Russia... Now, here's some scary shit. Are you ready for this, Dave? You're not going to fucking believe this.
Uh-oh. I can't wait to hear the nukes. I feel like that's where we're going.
Well, here let's start with the tanks. Russia has more than 15,000 tanks. They have 3,000 aircraft. And you're not going to believe this one. I'm going to go ahead and do... They have one active aircraft carrier and 60 submarines. But as far as nuclear bombs go, they have 8,000 nuclear bombs.
That is ridiculous.
Why is that okay?
Hello, comrade. What shall we do today? Well, the city in south of Siberia that we need to get rid of. We have 8,000. Well, don't throw one out.
Come on. 8,000 nuclear bombs.
Wow.
That's not right. You don't need that many. That's like having 17 refrigerators in your house. Like, you don't need 17 refrigerators in your house. Why do you need 8,000 nuclear bombs? What do they do? Is that what they do, like, on the, I don't know, we have the 4th of July. What do they have, like, the 8th of November? I don't know, Red Square Day? I don't know what the hell that, they've got to have some kind of holiday. They probably light one off. That's probably why, like, you know, everything's, like, warming up. That's probably them. That's probably thanks, Russia. Thanks a lot for all that. By the way,
I'm assuming their nuclear bombs just roll over, like minutes back in the day. It just rolls over. It's like, oh, USSR. All right, you're gonna move over here to Russia. They're just gonna roll on over.
Yeah. Oh no. We're not the USSR anymore. We're just Russia. Oh, how'd these get here? Oh, look at that. What is that, Comrade Nicholas? Oh, Comrade Ivan. They
came from Yugoslavia. Don't worry, we're gonna dispose of them soon.
It's okay, yeah. That one from Ukraine. No, we get rid of. Put in warehouse over there by river. Put by that river that glows in dark.
Oh, come on. You know that Russia. You should be ashamed of yourself for having 8,000 nuclear bombs. Bombs that work. By the way, Dave, did you know that the largest nuclear bomb ever detonated was by Russia? Are you surprised? You're
not?
Oh, okay. Because neither am I. Because it's called the Tsar Bomba, translated from Russian, the king of all bombs. I can't even tell you how the magnitude of this thing. But look it up. And there's actually a cool Netflix, maybe Amazon, did a cool documentary about this. This thing was freaking unbelievable. It like broke window. They let it off like in like the Arctic Circle, and like I think something like 47,000 miles away, it still broke glass in like Upper Europe, and like people heard it, and I don't know, like it displaced like 28,000 penguins. I don't know. It was bad. It was really bad, and they almost screwed it up because the guy let it off. Like the idiot flying the plane, he probably was working at a candy store before he did that, knowing Russia. And he was flying the plane, and he let it off. He was too low when he let it off, and he almost didn't make it up. Or he was too high, and he wasn't... I don't know, whatever that... I don't fly planes. I don't care.
He almost killed himself?
He almost killed himself, yeah. And the guys with him. There was like 100 or like 15 people with him and other planes. They're like, oh, you stupid Russian bear. What'd you do? You know, and it's this... But they got out of there. They got out of there, and they made it. But, hey, we got some more people popping on. Julie Hempstead, hello. Hello, Julie. PCP. Julie's my sister. Isn't that weird? Oh, my name is really? my name is Zant, but hers is Hempstead. That's because she's married. But hello, Julie. And Yasmina. Yasmina. She's a pops in a lot. How are you, Yasmina?
Yes.
Beautiful young lady. Beautiful young lady. Thank you, Yasmina. So Dave, I think we beat up Russia enough. So obviously number two and number one are coming up. So number two, I was surprised, but not surprised, given the size and the involvement and the talk that is hyped up about this country. But number two is the People's Liberation Army of China. Now it's the People's Liberation Army because they are actually still a communist country. And everyone knows that socialism is for the people, the you know, ruling middle class or whatever that is. There's like a very small upper class and a very decent-sized lower class, which means it's huge. And the middle class is supposedly what's... But, you know, it's a big fucking bullshit, you know. But anyway, I'm not going to beat up on China because there's too much anti-Asian sentiment going on. And, you know what I mean? I'm just calling China for what it is, you know. But the thing is, China is in tough competition with America, and it's expected in the coming years, China would be the superpower of the world, leaving America behind. The People's Liberation Army came into existence on August 1st, 1927. Approximately 3 million soldiers are serving in the army right now, and the budget is... What? Dave, the budget is almost $200 billion. Is that billion or trillion? That's billion. $200 billion. And other supplements include this. 9,000 tanks. 3,000 aircraft. They only have 250 nuclear bombs. Only.
It's a reasonable amount for, you know, the size of a country. Yeah, it's okay to have that many.
It's okay to have that many for a country that size, and it's a far fucking cry from 8,000. 8,000 nuclear bombs. I got to get off Russia a minute. I don't even want to think about them. And they have one air. Okay, they have 65 submarines and one aircraft carrier. Dave, I got to pause a minute. Have you noticed a recurring theme in all of these armies leading up to this one? So far, no one has had more than one aircraft carrier. No, who had two? Who had two? Somebody had two. I want to say it was...
No, everyone, I think, believe has had one.
Everyone's only had... Oh, no, India. India has two.
Oh, India has two.
India has two. But everybody else only has one aircraft carrier. Doesn't that strike you odd?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, why just one? Why not have a backup? What if that one goes
down? Why just one? Yeah, it's like, okay, we just destroyed your one warship or aircraft carrier. Now what are you going to do? You're not going to fly them in and out of... Vladivostok Field in Russia now. You can't do that. So, anyway. Another thing that China has working for it is it is on the cutting edge of the latest technology. I'm calling bullshit on that one because everything that comes from China is almost an absolute piece of crap. Because if you buy a TV from Walmart, you know that because it's the greatest TV in the world for like 2 years. And then all of a sudden you turn it on one day, it goes, pop! And then you call up and say, hey, is there anything I can do to fix it? Nope, can't fix it. Those parts don't exist anymore. It's like, oh, okay, well, this sucks. Great. Now I'm going to go spend another $300 on a TV. And that,
It's right when the warranty goes up too, right? It's like, oh, the warranty, you know, 2 years after 2 years and one day, bah. It's like, damn boom. It. Boom. What happened yesterday?
It is. It's almost like they know.
It's like I have this timer, like, all right.
It does.
On this day, it's going to, you know, go kaput. So maybe their technology is smart because then this is how they make more money.
Maybe they're pumping it all into that. Ooh, I didn't think of that. I didn't think of that. But China, they, you know, that they're formidable. Oh, okay. So before we get to number one, Joe Mama wants me to say his name. Hi, Joe Mama. I said your name. Are you happy?
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, Joe? Is there a Joe here? Joe. Anyway, I'm sorry that your name... Is it Joseph? Or Yosef? Are you Russian, secretly? Are you spying on us? He probably came in here, thought he was going to have a big joke, and we're ribbing him. Not going to work, dude. Not happening
little
here.
Little do you know.
Little do you know, you just came to the two saltiest dogs on the internet. So, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are at number one. And I have no heartfelt, big, built-up speech to introduce this with, other than you know what the number one armed force in the world is, and that is right here on your soil that you're sitting on right now, the United States of America. And in this time of division, Dave, in this time of turmoil, in this time of uncertainty, isn't it comforting to know that there is still a unity and a belief of protecting our country? Isn't it good to know that a country like Russia, who has 8,000 nuclear bombs, can't just walk over here because we will stop them? And you want to know why? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because when it comes to technology, Dave, Army personnel or defense budgets, America's on its... Okay. When it comes to technology, Army personnel or defense budgets, America stands at the top of the list. We have 14 million active soldiers that are committed to work on the defense of the country as you speak. And America allocates the military budget of $700 billion annually. Our Army, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Waiting for it.
We possess more than 8,000 tanks, 13,000 aircraft, 70 submarines, 10 aircraft carriers. Are you ready for the nuclear bombs?
Yes.
Are you awaiting with bated fallout anticipation with this? I'm
hoping it's more than 8.
Well, it's darn close, because we have 7,500 active nuclear bombs.
I mean, close. I really like, though, that it's like everyone, like you said before this, one aircraft, then two, and then the United States is like, one. No, we need 10 of those. We need 10. We're going to overdo it.
China has 3,000 planes. We have 13,000.
The thing I think I love most is that it's like everyone's still trying to catch up to us. But how many years has it been? How many are still going to be number one, baby?
Well, it is, because the Chinese army started in 1927 when they went communist and socialist, I think. I'm probably wrong, but I think. And Russia, who was the big communist, or USSR, not just Russia. Sorry, Russia. It's not like you're any different than you were then, okay? So, but, you know, they've had years and years and years to catch up to us, okay? So far, we got one aircraft carrier. There might be, like, 5 or 6 nuclear bombs. Well, how many did France have? Like 30 or 300?
400, I believe.
400. They had 400. So we have 7,500. But you got to remember, we needed an opponent in the Cold War. So is it surprising that Russia has so many nuclear bombs? I guess not. But it is surprising that they still do. Now, that tells me, like you know, if that's what they're declaring, how many do they really have?
That is very true. That's something that, I mean, you never know. You can just say, yeah, we got this many, but Who knows if that number is the real number? Maybe they have less. Maybe they have more.
Maybe they have, yeah. So I'm enjoying a fresh, refreshing RC Royal Crown Cola out of the can. I enjoy beverages out of the can, by the way. My favorite
over glass?
Over glass. I love drinking anything out of a can. It tastes so much better.
Interesting. So you would rather have a Coke out of a can than Coke than the Mexican Coke, the one in the glass?
If I could get Mexican Coke in a can, I would be in bliss. I swear to God.
See, I don't know. I really like the glass more. I think the glass, I don't know, gives it a different taste to it.
It does, but I don't know why. I prefer, like, I like beer. I like beer out of the can. I like Red Bull. You know.
Well, I've never seen Red Bull in a glass, so.
No, they don't. I just kind of contradicted myself. Maybe they should. Red Bull, if you're listening, which I know you are, because the president of Red Bull, I think his name is Alexander Frankenmeyer. He's a big fan of the show. So would you please make a special A to Z program edition of Red Bull and put it in a glass bottle? I'll pay for it all. Don't worry. Put it on my tab. So anyway, Dave, we come to that part of the show. We can ask me anything you want. Anybody can ask me anything you want. That was the top 10 list, but now we've come to the nitty-gritty. Now, is there anything so far? Let's start with what the questions we already have. Do you have any questions already?
Yes, I have. I'm going to do the one right here in the chat first, and it was by Mr. Chris Summers asking, who are your top five athletes of all time? So this can span any sport.
Any sport.
Any sport, because he didn't specify. So it's just whoever you think is the most athletic of all time. Five.
Five. Okay. So number five. Number five favorite athlete of all time is going to be. Well, number five favorite athlete of all time is probably going to be Cal Ripken. Number four. Randall Cunningham.
Ooh.
Number three, Larry Bird.
Okay.
Number two, boy, this is hard. Number two, Matt Sundin from the Maple Leafs.
Ooh, hockey.
And number one is going to be Wayne Gretzky. No, I take Matt Sundin off. Number two is Wayne Gretzky. Number one is Mario Lemieux.
Wow.
Yep.
You literally went everywhere there.
Yeah, I went all over the place.
You know what I do find surprising from that list, though?
What's that?
You said athletes, and for some reason you didn't name someone from the profession that you were in.
I was going to, but being that... I mean, they are professional athletes, and they are real athletes. I wanted to. People associate athleticism with conventional American sports more than they do anything in the world. Unless you're talking about soccer or like rugby down in Australia, which nobody fucking likes. But it's fun. But let's face it. I mean, you're not going to get like 85,000 buys on pay-per-view to watch the Australian Nifters against the Down Under Dungaroos. You know, you're not going to get that. That's not going to happen. So, I'm a huge hockey fan. Specifically, the era I grew up in up till about 2015. I still keep up with it. I still watch it. I love Sidney Crosby. I love Ovechkin. The Maple Leafs are doing really good. They've got some good young talent. So you're talent.
A Pittsburgh Pirates fan?
Penguins.
Penguins, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're the baseball.
Yeah, they're baseball team. Yeah, no, I got it mixed up.
I'm a Penguins fan, but I'm a Maple Leaf fan first. They're my favorite hockey team.
What happened to all those New York teams up there?
I just never
have so many.
I just never bit. I like the Bills. I like the Jets. I like the Mets.
But in hockey, you had the Islanders, the Rangers.
I'm an Islander fan. I would say if I had
New Jersey Devils.
I like the Devils. The Devils are actually I think I like the Devils a little more than I like the Islanders as far as like teams in my contingent area. But my favorite hockey team is the Maple Leafs, hands down. No qualms about it. Because the Maple Leafs got greats. I mean, they got like, you're talking, if you're going back, I mean, you're talking like Doug Gilmore, Matt Sundin, and you get it, you know, then you get way, way back, like, there's all sorts of guys, like, I can't even go, there's so many, I could go on and on, and nobody will know who I'm talking about, so, but anyway, yeah, so hockey, and Mario Lemieux, I'll give you guys some trivia. Mario Lemieux scored over 1,700 points in his career. He did it playing just over 900 games, okay? Now, Gretzky scored 2,800 points, and he played in, I think, 1,400 games, okay? So that's roughly 2 points a game, okay? Now, if you do Mario's points per game, I think it's a little higher. It might not be the highest, but it's a little higher. Now, if you do real math, which I have no idea how to do real math, I believe a statistician did this, and had Mario Lemieux played full seasons and played a full career, and a full career consists of like 12 to 14 seasons, he would have had more points than Wayne Gretzky. He would have.
Wow. And yeah. Was it his career cut short because of injuries or just that of, you know, his position?
Well, here's the deal. Mario's had a bad back after he got out of juniors and right into the NHL. He played with a bad back. He had Hodgkin's disease, non-Hodgkin's myeloma, I think, and he kept getting treatments and he never missed a game. He missed more. Wow. He never missed a game because of cancer or the treatments, but he missed games because of his back. Can you believe that?
That's insane.
That's how tough this guy is, man. Mario.
That must be how bad his back was.
Yeah. For that's him how to bad miss
is because of that.
Oh yeah. Sheesh. Mario was, if you watch highlights of this guy, Dave, you're going to be like, "What the fuck? How is this guy not revered as the greatest of all?" Because he wasn't protected like Gretzky was. He didn't have goons around him. If you wanted to fight, Mario would fight. He'd beat you up, man. He's not afraid. He's like a Jager, like a Jaromir Jagr. He could score. He was gritty. Jagr wasn't that tough, but he'd throw it back at you. He could hit hard.
He definitely would. He wouldn't let you walk over him.
No, he would he would give it back. Like, he wasn't like a moose like Messier who would fight you at the drop of a hat. But Gretzky was protected. He always had goons around him like Paul Coffey, Rob Blake, all those guys like in L.A. Even in New York, he had Buka Goon and all those guys. Buka Boom, but I call him Buka Goon. But yeah, Gretzky was always protected. You know, he could, you know, but Gretzky was great. He was finesse. You know, he's the great one. There's no denying it. So there's my top five athletes, Chris.
Nice. I like that you gave some respect to Cal Ripken. I feel like he never gets any love, and it's another guy who, you know, just he went out there and played.
He went out there and
played. Nothing. Not like nowadays where, you know, you have to have, you know, your day to have a little rest and a break. That's why I don't think anyone's ever going to catch that record.
No. And if they do, Dave, we're not going to. It's going to be in like the year 3000 because we're never going to. And it's not going to be cool then because steroids are going to be a thing of the past. Everybody's going to have like bio implants and it's all going to be like cyborg baseball. And like, you know what I mean? The stadiums will be like, you know, like 8 miles long and these guys will be hitting like 13 mile home runs. And so it's not even going to be cool anymore. Like, I just ruined baseball for everybody right there, by the way. But anyway, Dave, hit me up. What we got next?
All right. Next up, we got one from the comments on Facebook earlier. It is from Cody Tucker. He asks, he wasn't specific, so I'll let you dive into whichever one you want to. Sweet. He asks, which do you prefer, Marvel or DC? So here you can go either comics, movies, TV shows.
Interesting question, Cody. Interesting question. Let me burp. I muted that. So as far as comics, I enjoyed reading Marvel comics more. I had more Marvel comics. I collected Amazing Spider-Man. I collected I had actually all the Web of Spider-Mans. I had number one till I think it ran. Spectacular Spider-Man, Marvel Tales featuring Spider-Man. I had all. I collected Spider-Man. I had Uncanny X-Men, regular X-Men. Then I got into the Astonishing X-Men. And I had every Wolverine comic. I had the Wolverine limited run 1-4. I had the Wolverine first run. I started the Wolverine second run. I had all of his mini shots. I had Sabretooth's mini shots. I had Sabretooth classics. I was really into the X-Men, really into Spider-Man, and I had Journey into Mystery. I think the last five until it turned into the Mighty Thor. And then I had Mighty Thor right up till it changed to Volume 2, and then in Volume 2 I had like up to 100 or something. So
Where did you keep all these comics? These are like your nuclear bombs.
Yeah, they were at my mom's. I had them at my mom's house. Oh, Dave, by the way, I had Ultimate Spider-Man. I had three variant number ones. I had two number 25s. I had two number 50s. I had a lot, dude. I had a lot. I had an autographed Daredevil number 50. Unbelievable. Yeah. So I like Marvel Comics better, I guess, because it's a little more heartfelt to me because I read more of them growing up. And it's like nostalgic, time, place, and emotion. Even when I read, like, when you get, like, the essential books and you can go through them again, it brings me back, and I really enjoy reading them. So as far as comic books, I enjoy Marvel more, but I do like DC. I did have Batman. I had the Dark Knight Saga. I had Detective Comics, which Batman was featured in, yeah. And I also had the Batman title, and I had all sorts of different limited and annuals, and I had a lot of Batman comics, not as many as I did Spider-Man or X-Men or Thor, but as far as, comics, I like Marvel. Movies, obviously Marvel did better. DC just, I don't know what it was about DC, if they wanted to try too hard to have that epic kind of movie like Avengers or even the early X-Men movies or Spider-Man movies, but I think they threw everything into the pot too fast when they could have built up more to it, because think about it, you have Batman, you have Superman, you have two of the most iconic names in comic book lore ever, so... My personal opinion is instead of throwing them together immediately when you want a big comeback for your company, I think they should have branched. I mean, they did Man of Steel first, obviously, but Batman should have had his own build up to it, and the other movies should have kind of came just like the Avengers kind of did. I think that would have been more enjoyable. I'm not blaming the writing. I'm not blaming the directing. I'm blaming the production a little bit because they kept halting and going and halting and going,
they tried to catch up instead of. You know, run instead of what is it? They didn't realize it's a marathon.
Yeah, they thought it was a race.
They thought it was a race, and it's like, no, you can't just throw all these things out there at once because you're just throwing things to throw things. At this point, I'm hoping it sticks, but it didn't.
It didn't.
And how were you able to watch the Snyder cut of this Justice League movie?
I haven't yet. Okay. And my girlfriend gets mad at me because she says that Hi, Lauren. Lauren says hi.
Hi.
Let's put her up. Let's put her there. Hi. So hi. speaking of Lauren, she says, I don't know how she put it the other day. I'm like, I don't have any, I don't branch out because I get stuck on one thing. And I watch it, like, right now I'm on the City Confidential kick, that show that used to be on A&E, like, 25 years ago. And, like, American Justice and, like, Cold Case, I love all that. But, I mean, she's getting me to watch, like, we watch The Boys, okay. which is fun.
I haven't seen the new season, but the first season I thought was fantastic. It was hilarious. There was so many different things that happened, you're just like, it was funny, and then you're just like, wait, did that just happen?
Yeah. I'm on episode 3 or 4. I can't remember how many we got through, but I liked it. But yeah, so I'm gonna say I like the concept of DC's heroes, albeit overpowered. Batman is always gonna be near and dear to my heart. So I'm gonna say Marvel 1, DC 2, with Batman looming in between 1 and 2 because Batman is just, if you don't like Batman, you're there's something wrong with you. So anyway, next question. Oh, I see. Dave, I'll let you designate the questions, but I see we have a special.
Yeah, we do. Before I get there, I just really quick. This is going to be one for me.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite Batman? Like the actor.
My favorite Batman? Okay. My favorite actor that portrayed Batman, and this is going to be a good one, Dave. You asked a really, really good question. And I'll tell you why. Because my favorite Batman is Kevin Conroy, the voice of the animated series. And okay. subsequent cartoon and graphic novel movies. I mean, he carried this right up till...
He did, and he was actually in their... you know how DC has their DCEU and then they have like their TV series?
Mm-hmm.
He was in, like he portrayed Batman, like older Bruce Wayne, and I think it was Batwoman, one of these shows he reprised that role of being Bruce Wayne.
No.
Look, Cody agrees with you.
Cody, it's Kevin Conroy. And Cody, you grew up around me. Cody, I would like to think that I had a little bit of influence on you as far as the comic world went. Did I or didn't I? It would make me feel good if you just said yes. But on a serious question, I think I did. Because Cody was always savvy to sci-fi and fantasy. And we always shared that together. But, and Cody's a little younger than me. He's like probably eight or 9 years younger than me. But, yeah, I was around him a lot growing up. And he always probably saw that I had comics and saw that I watched Star Wars and all this stuff. And yeah, okay, Cody, awesome. I love you, bud.
He agrees.
Yeah. No, I did, because Cody and I share that. He was one of the few that I could always talk to about it. You know what I mean? Like, he was always savvy. He was always on point with everything. He kept up with everything. He read. It was a lot of fun. And Cody turned into a magnificent pop culture mind, I guess you could say. But yeah, Kevin Conroy is my favorite Batman. And second favorite is probably, and this is going to be an unpopular answer, is probably Ben Affleck. I really liked him as Batman.
We'll get it. I liked him as Bruce Wayne. I don't think I liked him as Batman.
You don't think you liked him as Batman?
No. Then again, the movies that he were in were really shit. Like, all three of them, I guess now. I just didn't enjoy him, and it threw me off. I'd rather see George Clooney. That was more entertaining to me. The bat nipples.
But again, I can't disagree with that, Dave. But I just enjoyed Ben Affleck as Batman. I really did. I thought that he could have done, especially that little spot he had in Suicide Squad. That was good. That was good.
That's another movie that Dave, man, DC just, oh, a bunch of stinkers.
Oh, my God. Did they just, they tipped that porta potty right on its head, man. It just dumped the shit everywhere. Anyway, next question, David.
Moving on, we're going to get, I guess, a little bit more serious, depending on how you take it. And then we'll lighten it up with a question following it. But it's by Sam, asking if you trust the police in New York.
Ooh, great question, Sam. Great question. Do I trust the police in New York? Yes, I do. I trust them to serve and protect me. Okay, I trust them to uphold the law, but there are times that I don't trust them because I think they actively... Look, I'm not an anti-police person. I want to put that out there right now. I am not anti-police. I am not anti-cop. I am anti-bad apple, and I am anti-bad conduct. Okay, I don't think that one police officer speaks for every single officer in the state. I don't think if you have one bad state cop that means that the rest of them are bad. Have I ran into police officers that I didn't think conducted themselves accordingly? Yes, I have. Have I been bigoted and singled out by police? Yes, I have. I have been, and it wasn't pleasant. Okay, like I've actually been. What's the word I'm looking for, Dave? Like it's not like scrutinized, like targeted, like police. You know what I mean? Like in that aspect, yes, I have, and I've felt that, and I understand where, like, say, people in the black community who have been ostracized more so, and it's true, they have, more so than probably I would. But I have felt that because I've been on the receiving end of that. So I understand what that's like. But that being said, I don't distrust the police. I do think that probably there needs to be more measures taken and better training, because it's been said by police officers on programs that I listen to, like on NPR and say maybe MSNBC or ABC News. They have even said that because of funding issues, training hasn't actually been up to par, and a lot of police and a lot of places around the country aren't trained correctly. A lot of times, you go for like 4 weeks, and they give you a gun and a car, and you go. And you kind of just do it on the whim. Like, and this day and age, Dave, I think that, and I hate being like, oh, get with the times, but times are different now. And you need to be more accordingly, you know, inept to understand different situations that arise now than, say, 35 years ago when, like, your drunk uncle's coming home from the bar. Okay, get out of the car, walk home, you know. Shit like that doesn't really happen anymore. You got, like, these crazy idiots that drink till they can't even see, get behind the wheel, and run people over and kill people. You know what I mean? And there needs to be measures to deal with that. There needs to be measures to deal with the war on not the war on drugs, because the war on drugs is a joke, but like these pop-up meth labs, like, you know, I mean, yeah. they're not equipped, especially around here where I live. I mean, they're not like equipped to deal with like gigantic meth things and heroin busts and stuff. They're getting better at it, but this is all different stuff it's always been there, but it's just gotten bigger. So my answer to that is, Sam, I will trust them, and I do trust them, but there are times that I am hesitant, and I am on my guard, because I am sorry, but because of the way I had been treated before, and because of the way I've seen people police treat other citizens, I am a little wary, okay? Because sometimes I feel I'm going to get singled out just because of who I am and what I look like. I hate to, and you know what? That's just the truth, and it means no way against or for anything. Okay, that's the answer, and that's what I think.
All right. Well, let's lighten things up here, and I think there's actually another serious question, and
ooh,
you know, you might get some slack about it tomorrow. But it's posted by Mr. Timmy Tabala.
Whoa! Timmy!
Who are your favorite people on the Just Too Sweet show? And he's asking in order.
In order.
I want you to rank the Just Too Sweet show click.
Well, I went to polls.com. And I went to the wrestling show section, and I actually did research on this, and we are actually ranked, our show and our show personalities are ranked from 1 to 5, because the boss somehow got thrown in there. And I'll read you the list right now. I have it right here on my phone. And the list is as follows. And I have to agree with this list, because I just have to agree with it. So
it was tested many times, you know.
It was tested. Polls. Well, it was done throughout a series of 20 random shows, and they let not just their experts come to the conclusion, but they sent it out to fans to vote too. So the order of favorite people, and this is, and I'm agreeing with this list, so this is my answer, Tim. Okay, the number one favorite personality on the Just Too Sweet show is none other than you, Mr. Tabala. You are number one.
Ooh.
Do you believe that? The second favorite personality on the Just Too Sweet show is Dave. He's number two. The third.
I'm surprised I made the list. I didn't think I had enough shows under my belt.
Well, hey, you never know, Dave. Number three is, I can't fucking believe this, is the boss, Steve Ferracci. Ooh. How did he get on that list? Oh, my God. And number four, of course, is Bert. And, of course, bringing up the goddamn rear, number five is me. And I was voted least liked on the Just Too Sweet show. But it's okay. Because, no, but seriously, Tim, you guys, I love all you guys. I can't pick one or the other. Tim, you know you're my brother from another mother, my hetero life mate. Dave is my lifelong producer, my lifelong friend. Steve is the boss, and Bert is just like our adorable lifelong buddy. So it's like, you know, I'm going to say none of the above. I love all of you. So
we're all tied for first.
We're all tied for first. And maybe Bunker second. Oops.
For you, you know, the boss, that's number one. Is, well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Next question. We have another one from Mr. Cody Tucker himself. He asked, if you can go see any concert from any band or musician, dead or alive, who would you most want to see?
Oh, my God. That's a great question. Who would I most want to see? At any era, dead or alive, any time period.
Yeah, band or musician.
So band or musician. So, dead or alive. Listen, this is probably a no-brainer, man. I want to go see Jim Morrison. I want to see the Doors.
Ooh, nice.
I want to see the Doors, man. I want to see Mr. Mojo Rising. I want to be at the Hollywood Bowl or in a Delhi College or wherever. I want to see, excuse me. Boy, this RC Cola is bubbly. RC Cola, Royal Crown Company, Texas. Oh, no, actually, I think it's Iowa. I don't know. But, yeah, I want to see Jim Morrison, man. I want to see Mr. Mojo Rising. I want to see the Doors. I want to see them in their heyday. I would like to see them in between their first album and Strange Days, that era. Or actually any era. I don't care. The end, they were kind of like after L.A. Woman, they were kind of like falling apart. But in their heyday, 67, 68, that's what I would do. I would go see the Doors.
Interesting. You want to break on through to the other side.
Oh, man.
Like that.
All the every day, every night. Boom.
All right. We're going to go on to another question. And I guess I want to ask you one question before
sure.
we lead to this one.
Absolutely.
In your grocery store, do you guys sell chicken wings?
We actually do. All frozen right, so ones, yep.
This question comes from Mr. Luke Tucker.
Oh, Luke.
And he asks, why are chicken wings so expensive?
Why are chicken wings so expensive? I actually have the answer to that. And this is actually a real industry question. This is this is the honest answer. Because of the shortage in labor, in the three largest chicken and poultry manufacturers in the United States, I believe one's in Pennsylvania, one is in Iowa, and one is in, I believe, Indiana. They're all relatively like in a triangle, like, you know. But, and Tyson owns one of them. I think Purdue owns another one. We actually got letters from all of them saying due to the shortage, basically they're hurting for help because of the, I don't know what, I'm assuming the pandemic, and for whatever reason that is, it could be a million reasons. I'm not going to get into that and jump on board one thing or another. While I do have my own opinion, I don't know the actual answer, but I do know that the factual answer is that they are short of help. They cannot produce the chickens fast enough. The farms are not giving the animals to the places quick enough. So, in other words, there is a delay in the process and a shortage of help, which makes when they do come about, the want comes in more and the price goes up more. So when there's less and you want more faster, you have to pay for it. That's why.
Hey, look at that, everyone. An industry secret here. Heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
All right, we're going to go with another question from Timmy now. Top five TV shows of the 80s.
Top five TV shows of the 80s. Well, let's go. Let's go. Number five is probably Dukes of Hazzard. Number four. Boy, you're really getting me on this. Let's see. See what I mean? You know, there no cartoons, Tim, or just TV show? TV show, not cartoons. You didn't say cartoons.
Cartoons are TV shows.
Are they TV shows? Okay. I'll revert to that as a if I can't. But I enjoyed the Dukes. I actually liked. Boy, why am I drawing a blank here? You always draw a blank when you want to get asked of the 80s. So let's see, 80...
You're right, because the 90s, you automatically think of Friends, you know, being one of the greatest shows of all time, so...
I didn't enjoy Alf much, Luke. But, so we'll go Dukes. God. You know,
21 Dave, Jump Street, Miami like, Vice.
Miami Vice was good. Dave, I'm just going to ask me another question.
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider. I'm going to cheat here.
He-Man.
And I loved He-Man. If He-Man
the
counts.
The Golden Girls.
If He-Man counts, I want He-Man on my list. I would definitely want He-Man on my list because I was a huge Thundercats. I loved the Thundercats.
No Golden Girls? No some blank action?
I wasn't a big fan. I like 21 Jump Street. I like 21
the Cosby
Jump Street.
Show. Oh, look, yeah. Next one, Cosby, A-Team.
I liked Airwolf. I wasn't a big fan of Magnum. A-Team was cool. Chips was okay. Fantasy Island was alright. You know what was good was God, Charles in Charge. I like Charles in Charge.
Okay.
Night Court. I like Night Court a lot. Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. They're going to be on the list. They might even be number one or number two. I love the Degrassi series. Yeah, I have them all on Amazon, actually. I had them all on VHS. Isn't that cool? I had them all on VHS, and then I was going to get them on DVD, but they didn't have them out yet on DVD in, like, the late 90s. They were, like, just transitioning to it. And by the time I went to get them on DVD, or did I get them on DVD? I can't fucking remember, Dave. But I know I had them all on VHS, and I still might somewhere. And they're probably worth a lot of money. Because they're right from WBGH Boston, who syndicated them in America. So Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, that's going to be number one. But I did, like I said, I liked... who did I say? I liked...
well, you said you would put He-Man in if it counted.
I put He-Man in
because it's a TV show.
Yeah, so He-Man. I liked Airwolf, but not... I wasn't in love with Airwolf. God. You know, there's going to be a bunch of them that I'm missing, and I'm going to kick myself in the ass. But I'm not going back on Degrassi. No way. Wasn't a huge Miami Vice fan. I like Bosom Buddies. That was good. Probably. Love Boat was good. Love Boat was really good. Transformers was good. I've got to put in. No, I don't have to put that in. I like Married with Children. So let's go. Let's do this. Let's go Dukes, Married with Children, He-Man.
And the two Degrassis?
And the two Degrassis. Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High.
Perfect. All right, I have no more Fat Albert.
Oh, Fat Albert was great. WKR. Oh, Sam. I love WKRP in Cincinnati. Oh, shit a brick.
I have no idea what that show is.
Oh, it's great, Dave. It's a great show.
I gave away my baby Dave age right there.
You did, too. Good thing Marla's not watching. Maybe she is. Yeah.
So I have no more questions. Maybe she is. I have no more questions from the audience unless something comes up now with my final question.
Okay.
And being that you know you are the host, the talk show host of Pop Culture Pros, I thought you should rank, because there is five gentlemen, I believe, right? Or is it one, two, three, four, five, six? I lied. It's six gentlemen that have hosted The Tonight Show. I would want you to rank them from six to one. So who you think is the worst to who you think is the best Tonight Show host of all time.
So the worst to the best?
Yes.
Okay.
So number six.
Number six is Jay Leno. Number six is Jay Leno.
Wow.
Fuck him.
The man who had 2 tenures as the Tonight Show host.
Jay Leno can suck it.
Ooh.
He's number six.
Wow.
Jimmy Fallon is number five.
Whoa. That is... Whew. Okay. Start
let's
off
see.
Some controversy.
Let's see. Number four. I want to put Steve Allen at number three.
Okay. So you still have Jack Parr?
Jack Parr is number four.
Okay. So we have... So six is Jay Leno.
Six is Jay Leno.
Jimmy Fallon.
Four... is Jack Parr. Mm-hmm. Three Steve Allen. Two is Conan O'Brien. And there's nobody that's ever going to be Johnny Carson. Nobody.
You put Conan there.
I'm a Conan dude, man. I love Conan O'Brien. He's just one of my... He's my favorite talk show host, other than Letterman.
He was there for like 6 months.
Yeah, like I think like 8 months or something, and he left. But I love Conan. I love Conan. Conan's... And he got screwed over by NBC and Jay Leno, and I didn't like Jay...
I will say that I don't think that was fair. Jay said he was leaving, so they gave it to Conan, and then he's like, no, you know what? On second thought, I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Move out of the chair, Conan. I don't think that was right, but still, man, yeah. I cannot believe you put him at two.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't like Jay.
And Jimmy, you don't like Jimmy?
I don't mind Jimmy, but I don't think Jimmy's as good as Jimmy thinks he is. Being said, I'm not saying I'm better than Jimmy Fallon. I might be, given if I had all the big fancy production and the $2,000 suits.
Jimmy does have a lot of help from his creative staff. He is funny.
He is funny. Jimmy's
but
funny.
He has a lot of minds that, you know, just feed him these things that I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. You transition from like... Jay wasn't not funny.
Jay wasn't unfunny. He was funny. Yeah, he was.
And then when you went to Conan, you saw Conan was a little bit more funnier. Then you transitioned back to Jay. And then so Jimmy, you know, was, okay, I'm going to continue on sort of like feeding off, not from Jay, but from like, I feel like Conan, if anything.
A little bit.
Pushing that envelope of, you know, I want people to watch. And yeah, it can be serious, but I also want them to watch and laugh and be a fun time.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Dave. Jimmy is funny, and if Jimmy would be himself more, like I like it when he does like the wacky skits, like when he dresses up like whatever and sings like a modified song or something, like when he did the Reading Rainbow Doors thing. That was fucking great.
And that's what I'm saying. He has a lot of his creative staff right now. I think is probably the best that show has ever had.
I think it is
because
too.
That's where you can separate Johnny Carson from him, because I feel like Carson was him. Like
it was Johnny.
Was Johnny. So Jimmy's good, but Jimmy has so much creative help that the creative staff on him, man, I think are top notch. They can come up with like stuff that we come up with here is like, you know, good for us, but for them, I'm sure they'd be like, oh yeah, but we can do this and that, and they'll have a million different ideas from just one. And it really, I think that helps him out a lot.
I think so. Now, Dave, picture this. Picture this. We get a call one day, and we say, Eric, we want to give you a real show, and we want to put you on television. So we're going to put you in New York at the whatever theater. Not, I mean, we're not going huge. We're just going to be, we're going to start out as like the fourth talk show. So we're going to go into like whatever theater and do our show, and they're going to say, Dave, you are going to have under you a staff. Since you're the head producer, so you'd be the guy right under me. Your staff is going to be writers and researchers and this, that. We're going to give you so-so, this, that, the other thing. So if you had the ability to be able to filter all this stuff out, and then on the final meeting you and I have with the show, now that would be fun, and that would be cool. That would be really cool, because then we could really come up with some cool shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we need a staff of thousands like they have. I think we need a couple, like, just a couple writers, maybe a couple of researchers. Like, somebody to find articles and stuff. They submit them through you. You weed out the trash, and you and I get together, and we figure out the bits. And, well, we need a wardrobe guy. Because I do have, like snooty taste in clothes. Like, I have like a high I like me some good clothes. I do. I like me some good clothes. So we're going to need a bigger budget.
You need those essentials, that, you know, the makeup person, catering staff,
Yeah.
They got to make sure they supply you with some extra, you know, zebra cakes and Twinkies to your trailer.
And RC Cola. I got to have RC Cola. And, you know, Dave's got to have, you got to get your water and what do you like, Cheez-Its, right?
The Cheez-Its, and can't forget the White Claw, you know, they got to have some, you know.
Oh, you got to have the White Claw, yeah, you got to have the
underneath everyone's White Claw. Seat, you had a complimentary White Claw and RC Cola.
Well, I just kind of feel, Dave, if we had the facilities and if we were allowed the budget, I honestly think that we would blow everybody out of the water. I think we'd be neck and neck with Kimmel and Fallon. I think that we would really...
But where's, what's his name?
Conan?
No.
Stephen Colbert?
Yeah, Colbert.
You know, I kind of think that we should be in that theater. I like Stephen Colbert. I respect his humor. I think he's a little too condescending. And he's a little too opinionated.
I feel from where he came from, I believe, I agree.
It is. I feel that you can hold your opinion, okay? I'll use Conan as an example. He has his opinion, but he doesn't sway one way or the other. Like, say he has a Republican on, he'll identify with them. And he'll make a joke on his behalf saying, oh, well, then a guy like me would be like, whatever, and everybody will laugh. You know what I mean? But he wouldn't be putting the person down. He doesn't pick a fight with him. Where Colbert will argue, Fallon won't argue. He'll kind of like agree to disagree. But Colbert is a little too opinionated. I think passionate like that, like Rachel Maddow, who does the her thing on fucking whatever, fuck MSNB, fuck who cares, and I think, while I respect that she's a very good journalist and very good presenter, I feel that... Because, you know, Dave, it doesn't matter what you believe and what side you're on. When you're too far to any side of anything, you lose perspective on what's right in the middle, okay? Yep. So I think they lose a lot of...
Too far to see the other side.
Exactly. And you can't see the forest for the tree itself. So I feel that being a little too passionate on what you have and what you are... And what you believe, I think you need to have a broader view. And that's why I like Conan, because Conan, I know he has his views, but he has his beliefs, but he has a broader view and an understanding view. Like when he has Bill Burr on. Bill Burr is brutal. But he jokes and brings it all back together, you know? Or if he has, say, Hillary Clinton on, he can joke and make her laugh. I mean, it's hard to make somebody, you know, who dresses like a makeup sales lady laugh. Because obviously nothing's funny in that world, except that. But anyway, and Fallon, I feel, is a little too ass-kissy. Like,
that's what I was gonna say. He's a big people pleaser. He doesn't want to look bad at all.
Exactly.
He won't challenge you. He'll be like, oh, ha, ha, ha.
And I'm the opposite. I will, and I'll do that. I'll do it for the laugh, but I'll also challenge you to, like, you'd be like, oh, no, come on. Yeah, you know, like, okay. But, like, I'm not gonna please you, whatever. And Colbert, I feel he'll get, like, snooty, like, oh, okay. So, you don't like this. Oh, okay. Then he'll try to make his joke, and, like, you hear a couple people go, yuck, yuck, yuck. And they don't really think it's too funny. I think he's on there based on his big personality. Like, I'm Stephen Colbert, and I took over the Letterman show. Bob, I don't know. I feel that there could be a better host to carry on the man.
He's definitely no Letterman. Letterman is
no one of a kind. Nobody's going to be. But I feel he's not the guy that should have taken Letterman's place. I know David Letterman said he is and blah, blah, but if you really ask him, like, next time Letterman comes, because Letterman comes over for coffee once in a while. We have coffee. He likes to fish. So he comes up once in a while. He's told me. He said, Eric, he goes, you know, if I could have gotten you in there sooner, I'd have had you in there. But, you know, the brass and everybody didn't want, you know, they wanted Colbert because he was on the Daily Show.
It wasn't his choice to make.
It wasn't his choice to make. He said, but if I had my choice, Eric, you would have been sitting in the Ed Sullivan Theater, and David would have been over here by the podium, and you would have had your whatever band you wanted to. I would have kept Paul Schaefer. They were great. So there's my little fantasy of the A to Z program that someday will happen. We're going to have it. We're going to make it.
You all will remember this town. All right, so we'll do one last one, and then we'll wrap things up. And okay. The last one comes from Luke Tucker. He says, top five entrance music.
Ooh.
We did do a show about this.
We did. The
Just Too Sweet show. I don't remember what the five were, but you go ahead and right now, at the top of your head.
Top of my head. Top five entrance music. Number five, Bret the Hitman Hart. Number four.
You mean Natalia? That theme music?
Natalia's
five.
The original Hitman. Yeah. Not. I mean, Natalia's is modified. Excuse me. But the original Heart Attack, like, the Hitman music when he comes out, that was great. There's something about it. It was great. Number four, Ultimate Warrior. Number three, DX. Number two, Undertaker. And number one's got to be every single person who, even if you don't know who he is, as soon as you hear the glass break, you get shivers up your spine. And that's got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's got the greatest music of all time.
Absolutely. There wasn't a bigger pop than when you heard that glass break.
Oh my God, it was now to actually see him wrestle and be in, like, say, like the Broome County Arena compared to the first Union Arena to watch WrestleMania, to see him in The Rock is amazing. And the pop was the same. And it was so awesome to be able to feel that and see that actually, you know, because, you know, it's become like a nostalgic thing. Like they're like, you know, it's like, you saw Steve Austin? Like, actually, like, yeah, I did, you know? So that's kind of cool. Dave.
I will chime in and say that for that one, we won't talk about it too much since, you know, we have a wrestling show we'll talk about this on. But yesterday with the Steve Austin biography on A&E, Triple H basically said, like, when you heard that glass pop break was like a holy shit moment. Like, you heard a break and you're like, holy shit, what's going to happen?
Because
you didn't know when Austin was coming out what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That was what was so great about Steve Austin. Yes, good talk. Hogan, Real American. Yeah, Luke, that gives you goosebumps still. We'll give him honorary, number six. Yeah, definitely. Definitely Hogan. But, we're going to wrap things up. But before we do, as I mentioned earlier in the program, in fact, it was the beginning of the program, we have uncovered the truth, ladies and gentlemen. The truth.
The receipt.
The receipt. The undeniable artifact that proves that he and I, on this show, we caught merged, unified two worlds into one, and love was felt all over the Sunshine State. So, Dave, without further ado, I would like you to present the evidence of harmony and love in South Florida. And the reason we say we bring people together, well, this is irrefutable proof, ladies and gentlemen, that we have brought peace and love and happiness to the Sunshine State. Dave, take it away.
There it is.
There it is.
Read out the comment there, Easy.
Well, here it is. So on the heels of a Mets win, the boss made a Facebook post, and Mr. James Bunker writes, "If you're not a Stroman fan, pick another team, LOL." And Mr. Boss Steve Ferracci says, "James Bunker, beast mode right now." And if you will notice, ladies and gentlemen, the little emoji that we have over here, right there, that Dave's pointing at right there, the care and love emoji that was given by none other than Mr. Ferracci himself. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that with this achievement, Dave, we should be in contention for the Nobel Peace Prize. And I believe that nobody's going to come to an achievement as big as that. Am I right?
This is a big one.
This is a big one.
These are polar opposites, and we got them.
We got them.
So, you know, look at that. The missing Lego piece in their life, you know, we just connected it together.
Oh, we took the Fountain of Youth, El Dorado, Shangri-La, and the Hollow Earth, and put it all together, and we have the domain, the euphoric heavenly domain of Bunker and Ferracci. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, you can thank me later, but for right now, we are going to go. I would like to thank you. What's all, Dave? You got something.
I was going to say what I think our audience that are still watching, what they should go do is go to the Pop Culture group page and just comment JB plus SF. And then just put BFF for life. Yeah, for life.
BFF for life.
For life.
Please do that.
JB and SF.
And just tell them that Eric and Dave sent you if things get out of control. But speaking of out of control, we got another show coming up, Dave, and we need to leave the airspace to give them room to come on. And what am I talking about? I am talking about the Empire 161 show. Tonight, hosted by Ed Camus and a special guest host, it is coming on right directly after this show. So please stay tuned. Please stay right where you are and watch Ed and the guys as they go over all things Yankees, and sometimes they get a little bit into Star Wars. But usually it's Yankees right now because we're in the beginning of the season. So we're going to do that. I would like to thank everybody for making this Ask Eric Anything show fantastic. Thank you for coming out as always. Producer Dave, do you have anything to say before we cut out and cut home?
No. Everyone have a great night. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed episode 20 of the A to Z program.
That was 20.
And we're just getting started.
We're just getting started. And that went quick. 20 went quick. Pretty soon we're going to be at 50. Pretty soon we're going to be at 50. And that's going to be an Eric Stravaganza. I said it here first. But anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for all the great questions. Thank everybody for all their support. 20 episodes went so fast that I can't even explain to you the feelings and emotions that I'm going through right now, mainly because of the James Bunker, Steve Ferracci thing. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for making this a great show. My name is Eric Zant. He is producer Dave Waki. And you can see us both tomorrow on the Just Too Sweet show, where we have another special Just Too Sweet show with Dave and I and Bert and possibly the boss. We don't know yet. Well, the boss hasn't gotten back to us yet. But if the boss shows up, the boss shows up. If he doesn't show up, yeah, we'll still do it. But anyway, for Dave, I'm AZ. Thank you for tuning in to the A to Z program. Tune in next Monday, same time, same place. Don't forget his smile, and don't forget my face.